Good evening, everybody. It's so good to see everybody again in worship, once again with everyone. So I just wanted to explain real quick, whenever I get the opportunity to preach, how I got the preaching job. I'm driving home from a very rough day, and all of a sudden I get a little notification that someone texted me. I didn't have this number saved, and I click on it, and it's talk to text, so I can hear Siri. So Siri says, she says to me, "Hey, want to preach the 23rd? This is Todd." So I was excited, and I immediately accepted. And I really thought to myself that this could be a prank. You know, one of my friends did this to me. So I phone checked with Mom. Is this his number? So sure enough, it was. And thank you for inviting me to come preach. I got nervous, and it's good nerves, I promise. Anyway, I do want to take another moment to say thank you to the elders. This is a great opportunity. I'm very grateful for it. Next, I want to give a heads up. I preached a sermon a couple weeks ago at Traders Point, and for those of you that are from Traders Point that came to listen, I expanded upon it, so keep listening. So let's dive right in. A couple of months ago, I was driving and talking with a very good friend of mine. We were talking about the question why. He was asking me, why do bad things happen to good people? Stuff like that. So we were just trying to figure out that answer together in a short drive. I found out in his life, people close to him have lied, cheated, betrayed him. Family and friends have died, and it's common for people to ask, why does this happen? So he would tell me that when he went to some fellow Christians and he asked them, their simple answer was, just trust in God's plan. So when life and or the devil has knocked someone around, that's the most cliche phrase to say and to hear from somebody, just trust and have faith in God's plan. While this is ideal and expected, let's be honest. That's not what's going through someone's head when they're going through a tragedy. So when something bad happens, like what we talked about with people betraying him or cheating on him, or bad test results or loss of a loved one, that's not what you're thinking. So tonight, I want to be an encourager. I want to talk about what this actually means to us as Christians. And I want to encourage everybody throughout this short message. If you had your Bible, let's turn back to that which you read, so thank you so much for that. Let's turn back to 2 Kings 5. 2 Kings 5, that's the story of Naaman. And I know a bunch of us have heard this story, but this is another example of God's plan and what we don't understand. So Naaman had leprosy. That's a terrible thing to happen. It's painful, and it rots your flesh away. So to someone, we might ask the same question, why? So then when he gets the response of, what can I do to heal myself? They say, go wash yourself in the Jordan River, which had the reputation of being nasty and not very glamorous, especially for an officer. So let's put ourselves in his position. I'm going to do me, but you guys can think about yourselves. So I'm the CEO of Google, all right, and I have this lifestyle that's just very glamorous, but I get this infamous coronavirus. So what do? I go to doctors. I got money. I can go to doctors. I can go to researchers. I can do whatever it takes to get this coronavirus out of me. But no one can figure anything out. And then I hear this doctor in Danville. Okay? I go to this doctor and I say, and I walk up to this doctor's office, but he sends his assistant to come talk to me. And she says, "Hey, Levi, all you got to do is go to Danville Pool and drink a glass of water from the pool." To me, I'm just, you know, what? Drink a glass of water. It's that nasty. That's how nasty the Jordan River was to Naaman. Something like that. And I know me and my attitude. I'd probably say, no, I'm not doing that. I'll just keep taking my chances with some other doctors. So it's okay. Life was going according to plan for Naaman, the commander of the king's army. And he was someone that the king had great admiration for. So yeah, it was going pretty good. Then he got hit with leprosy. Boom. Hit number one. While we know the characters of my analogy are different than the characters that happen in the Bible, it's the same solution. Next, when speaking to a prophet of God, he says, dip into the Jordan River. And as I said, it had the reputation of being gross and unattractive. So he reacted in the same dramatic way that I probably would have. I would have gotten really mad. And as we just read, he eventually had been talked into going into the Jordan River and was miraculously healed and better than before. He had to put his faith into God's word. Then he was healed. Next, we have an example of what God's plan looks like in the Bible. It's David. David was a man after God's own heart, as we read. He was brave, strong, fearless. and to some they feared him. However, we do know he had low parts in his life. Let's turn to Psalm 143 together. In Psalm 143, David is being pursued by one of his enemies. We don't know what the context is. We just know that he's being pursued. It could be when King Saul is chasing him. It could be when he's trying to be overthrown. But we do know that this is a low part in his life. So let's read Psalm 143 together. We'll read the whole psalm. It's not that long, so bear with me. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me in your righteousness. Enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you. For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. Therefore, my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the works of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down in the pit. Let me hear in the morning your steadfast love, for I trust in you. Make me know the way I should go, for you lift up my soul. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to your refuge. Teach me to do your will. You are my God. Lead your good spirit on me on level ground. For my name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And in your steadfastness, love, you will cut off my enemies. And you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul, for you, I am your servant. If we are low and things aren't going according to plan, the best thing to do is pray with our hearts, as we just read. David prayed with his heart out to God, and he let him take control. He knows that his plans are not David's plans, and God's time is not in our time. Joseph is my favorite example of life not going according to plan. Joseph was the favorite of his brothers. We're going to read the downfall and the definite low of Joseph's life in Genesis 37. Let's turn there together. Genesis 37, we'll read just 23 through 28. Real quick, we will Genesis 37, 23 through 28. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty, there was no water in it. Then they sat him down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, with their camels bearing gum, balm, and myrrh. And on their way to carry it down to Egypt, then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers listened to him, and the Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him up out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for only 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Egypt. So Joseph's life, as we can read, that's not according to plan. That's not anybody's plan in life, to be betrayed by your own family and sold as a slave. So Joseph, fast forwarding, Joseph picks himself up from his bootstraps. He could easily think to himself, "I've been betrayed, beaten by my own family. I cannot be a servant of God any longer. Because why? Why would I follow him?" But he does. He does keep his faith. He keeps moving forward. He puts his faith in God. Fast forwarding again, Joseph has found himself in favor with Potiphar after arriving to Egypt. Potiphar was an officer of the most powerful kingdom in the world. Joseph might be having a new plan, a new faith, but the same faith in God. He's got a new plan. After a certain amount of time, Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph. Joseph refused, and because of the lie of the wife, he's imprisoned. So finally, fast forwarding again, Joseph has had interpreted many dreams. One of those is Pharaoh. Because of that, Joseph finds himself in a power position. And at this point, as readers, we see that this is God's plan in fruition. Joseph's brothers find themselves at his feet without even knowing it's him. After many confrontations, Joseph's brothers finally realize that it's him. Let's read Genesis 45. I know we're close. Let's read Genesis 45. We'll read the second part of verse 3 through 8. But his brothers could not answer him. They were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near and he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here." Now pay attention to this part. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. Verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve you for the remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his house and ruler over the land of Egypt. That's God's plan. That's a perfect example and the point of this sermon that I'm trying to get at. The low parts in somebody's lives, it's easy to look at those. But just as Joseph, you have to put your faith in God. Like last sermon I preached, I like to give examples other than the Bible. I know Granddad does that sometimes, so I want to keep this going. And this is a story, speaking of Granddad, he used to read this to me when I was really little. It's kind of lengthy, but I think it's worth it. Once upon a time, three little trees stood in a high forest on a mountain, dreaming of what they would be when they were grown. The first little tree looked up at the stars twinkling like diamonds in the night sky. I want to hold treasure, it said. I want to be filled with gold and decorated jewels. I'll be the most beautiful treasure chest in the world. The second little tree looked down the mountainside at the ocean far below. I want to be a strong sailing ship, it said. I want to travel the mighty waters, carry powerful kings. I'll be the strongest ship in the world. The third little tree said, I don't want to leave this mountaintop at all. I want to grow so tall that when people stop to look at me, they raise their eyes to heaven and they will think of God. I want to be the tallest tree in the world. Years passed, the trees grew. Then one day, three woodcutters climbed the mountain. One woodcutter looked at the first tree and said, this tree is beautiful. It's perfect for me. With a dozen swoops of his axe, the first tree fell. Now I shall be made into a beautiful treasure chest, thought the first tree. I shall hold marvelous treasures. Another woodcutter looked at the second tree and he said, this tree is strong. It's perfect for me. With a dozen swoops of his axe, the second tree fell. Now I shall sail the mighty waters, thought the second tree. I shall be made into a strong ship fit for powerful kings. The third tree felt its heart sink as the last woodcutter approached. It stood straight and tall and pointed bravely towards heaven. But the last woodcutter never even looked up. Any kind of tree will do for me, he muttered. With a dozen swoops of his axe, the third tree fell. The first tree rejoiced when the woodcutter took it to a carpenter's shop. However, the carpenter was not thinking about treasure chests. Instead, he cut it and carved it into a simple feeding box. The once beautiful tree was not filled with gold or decorated with jewels. It was covered with dust and filled with hay for hungry farm animals. The second tree rejoiced as well when the woodcutter took it to a shipyard. But the shipbuilder was not thinking about mighty sailing ships. Instead, he hammered and sawed the tree into a simple fishing boat. The once strong tree was too weak to sail the ocean. So it was taken to a little lake where every day it carried loads of dead, smelly fish. The third tree was confused when the woodcutter took it to a lumberyard, where it was cut into strong beams and left alone. What happened? The once tall tree wondered. All I ever wanted to do was stay on the mountaintop, grow tall, and make people think of God. Years passed, the three trees, they nearly forgot their dreams. But then one still and silent night, golden starlight poured over the first tree as a young woman placed a newborn baby into the feeding box. I wish I could make a cradle for him, her husband whispered. The mother squeezed his hand and smiled as the starlight shone on the clean and shining wood. This manger is beautiful, she said. And suddenly, the first tree knew it was holding the greatest treasure in the world. And then one humid and cloudy day, a tired traveler and his friends crowded into a small fishing boat. The traveler fell asleep as the second tree sailed quietly onto the lake. But suddenly, a thundering storm arose and the second tree shuddered, knowing that it did not have the strength to carry so many passengers safely through the fierce wind and rain. The tired traveler awoke. He stood up, stretched out his hand, and with a strong voice, peace, be still. The storm stopped as quickly as it began, and suddenly, the second tree knew that it was carrying the King of Heaven and Earth, the King of Kings. And then one terrible Friday morning, the third tree was startled as its beams were yanked from the old lumberyard. It flinched as it was carried through an angry, jeering, spitting crowd. It shuddered when the soldiers nailed a man's hands and feet to her. It groaned as the man cried out in agony and died. It felt ugly, harsh, and cruel. But at dawn, the next Sunday, on Sunday morning, the earth trembled with joy beneath the third tree, and it knew that God's love had changed everything. It had made the first little tree a beautiful treasure chest. It had made the second tree a strong sailing ship. And every time people looked at that third tree, they would think of God. And that is even better than being the tallest tree on the earth. I think that story kind of sums up what I'm trying to get at. Life might not go according to plan. life is unpredictable. Someone might get bad test results or go through a rough relationship where people tear you down and question your faith, or they might make you feel like you're not good enough. Or maybe sometimes an undesirable death of a loved one occurs. Maybe life is not going according to plan. But God lets us know in Isaiah 55:8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways, they're not my ways, thus says the Lord." With that said, we're also told in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "No temptation has overtaken you, except what is common to man. And God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way so that you can endure it." Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3:5-6. Just like Naaman, Joseph, David, and even those three trees, God's plan does not come to fruition without faith in His Word. And remember this, trust in God and His plan will be made clear. Lose faith in Him and the devil's plan will take its place. After taking speech class 3 times at IEPUI, I still didn't learn that much. But I did learn one thing. It's the importance of short-term and long-term call to actions. So I want to do both of those in a speech like this. In the short-term case, I plead that we all turn to each other in those times of dark and unpredictable things. Provide help and support for fellow Christians. From the example of David, we must immediately pray and throw ourselves to God as he did. Because when it comes down to it, that might be the only thing that we can do. In the long term, on each other's foundation and in your hearts, instill the faith and courage of Joseph. The faith put into action like Naaman. Finally, just know that you might very well be just a tree waiting for the moment to see God's glory for yourself. And here's the point of all of this. 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So if you're here and you still need to be baptized, I implore you, right now is your chance. Like I've hammered on this sermon, life's unpredictable. Right now is your chance. Put your faith in the Lord and submit your life to Him. And if you need prayers of the Christians here, I always say this because it's from the movie We Bought a Zoo. He says, "Practice 20 seconds of fearless bravery and come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song."